Jesus, and you'll find him soon. Behold, believe his word and promises all his mind.
Every promise
in the book is
mine.
Every chapter, every verse, in every
one you truly love is put
far away.
Look unto the Lord,
and by faith take your claim.
Trust in God and call upon His name.
Oh, every promise,
every promise.
Saints, we do greet you in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bible straight away to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read two verses there. Thanks, Brother Flood. The musicians, God bless you richly. Ephesians 4, let's read 29 and 30. What a blessed time on Sunday. Glad to say Brother Lubanz will be on Sunday again.
Amen.
So we really have rejoiced in that. Today we want to do a little bit of a Bible study. Now, if you're in the army, I know Brother Eli was in the army. If you're in the army and you overrun the enemy and you start making progress, like the Lord has granted us grace, you overrun the enemy's lines, you're going forward, you're taking territory which the enemy had taken from you, there's oftentimes times that you need to stop and go back and mop up some of the enemy maybe that you left behind. Maybe there's some pockets of resistance. Maybe the enemy is still holding a certain outpost. Now, in your rush towards victory, you've swept past them, but you need to go back to make sure those enemies don't haunt you once again.
Amen.
And that's what you wanted to do this evening. We wanted to do a Bible study called The Power of the Tongue.
Amen.
We really want to look at that. And it's necessary for us sometimes to go back just to make sure that some of the enemies which held us back, that we completely destroy them. I'm sure you desire that. You know, the prophet says, destroy your enemy before your enemy destroys you. And when you have the initiative, just keep going until the enemy is completely destroyed. Don't let a little bit of him get away, because they regroup, they come back to haunt you once again. So we want to have a look at this thought. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 29 and 30. Ephesians 4, we know the chapter, it's speaking about perfection through the fivefold ministry at first. Then Paul gets on moving on and he's speaking about the building up of the body and so forth. But 29 and 30, he gets to a real good point. He says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Imagine he's speaking to the Ephesians, yeah? Now, these are not just beginners that he's speaking to, but he's having to come back, Paul, having spoken great mysteries in chapter 1, 2, 3 of predestination and the believer's position in Christ. But he finds it necessary once again to come back and address this issue, to say, don't let malice, don't let evil speaking, don't let these things be numbered among you. Because, friends, these are the enemies of when God is trying to do something in the midst of his people. May the Lord bless his word. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for every single blessing that you give unto us. Father, we thank you for the blessing of life. We thank you for breath. Father, we thank you for strength in our bodies this day, that we might worship you. We thank you, Father, that you put a desire inside of our souls, that we may praise your name. Father, we thank you, Lord, that there's something of you in us, that no matter how much the enemy would try to push us down, you always allow us to come back to the surface once again. We thank you for the joy in the midst of your people. We thank you for the shout of the king in the camp. Father, continue your work, Lord. How you said, "I will restore." We just want to worship thee upon this evening. And as we study your word, Lord, instruct us. Father, Lord, thine apostle taught us that your word is good unto edification. It's good for instruction. It's good for correction and reproof, that you may be fully equipped, that, Father, you may be a people wanting nothing. Father, we do not want the enemy to have any ground. We do not want him to have any room anymore. So won't you help us in our meditation this night for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints, in Jesus' name. So we're looking at the power of the tongue. Maybe if you had to give a thought, is suitable for the occasion. We'll see it as we get along. God wants us, in all that we say, that the things we say will be suitable to the occasion. We'll see that as we go. Now, there's something about the power of the tongue. Look in the book of James. Now, you think how much space in the Bible, if you ever go and do a study and go and see how much the Holy Ghost spoke through the apostles concerning these kind of things, it's amazing. James chapter 3, we'll see the whole chapter is dedicated to this issue of the tongue. So imagine there's so many other things the Lord could speak about, but there's something the Lord knows, and he knows the way that he made us. That he knows our body, he knows our soul, he knows our spirit. He knows the spiritual realm. He knows what's good for us, he knows what affects us. And when there's certain things that can really affect people very deeply, or that the Lord finds very important, you find the Lord spends a lot of time in the Word. Now, many times we don't like to spend much time on those things. And we want to find the more interesting things, because, you know, that's the way that you are as human beings. But James in chapter 3, and he didn't only do it in chapter 3, but he started to speak about the tongue. Let's read from verse 1. He says, "My brethren, be not many masters." So he said, do not be many teachers. Don't everyone desire to teach other people? He says, why? He says, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. We shall have a greater judgment. Because every word we say is going to be judged. How many times the prophet said that? He would say that, he'd pray and he'd say, "Lord, I've delivered your word to your people now. I know these words are going to meet me down the way. And by these words, I'm either going to be blessed, or by these words, I'm going to be judged." So there's something about teaching, speaking to people, instructing people, advising people, fellowshipping with people, that God has a desire in these things. But the devil has a desire as well. And we know that Satan is a perverter of all that is good. So it says in verse 2, "For in many things we offend all." Now, anybody who stands in a pulpit knows what it is to preach, because you offend people. No matter how much you try to be as diplomatic as you can be, no matter how sweet you try to say things, you're always going to offend people because it's the word of God. Then anybody who's in the flesh, anybody who's backslidden, anybody that's under the influence of the wrong spirit, now when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of the word and starts visiting those situations, it brings a reaction inside of people. There can be an offense. Now also we're human beings, we sometimes stray. No, we sometimes, like the prophet says, you use the pulpit to fix some of your own scores and things like that. We shouldn't do that. But friends, it's not an easy thing for a minister to get in the pulpit. If someone's been criticizing him and he feels unjustly done by, it takes a lot of grace to get yourself out of the way, not to address those things. But God can never bless when the human part comes into the equation. The Lord wants His will to be done. He doesn't want your will to be done or my will to be done. He wants His will to be done. So that's why it says, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. Now every husband here can say amen. And every wife here can say amen. Because living together in close proximity one to another, no matter how prayerful a people may be, you're going to have times when you're going to offend one another. Amen. Believers staying together, believers living near each other, believers fellowshipping in the same church. The Bible says you are a perfect man if you don't offend. Amen. So we're going to offend one another. We don't want to do that. And that's what Paul is addressing and James is addressing, is the power of the tongue, because one of the greatest instruments and tools of offense is the tongue. There's far more offense caused by the tongue than all the rest of the things you can use put together. There's nothing that can destroy a relationship more than the power of the tongue. There's nothing that can bring division between people more than this little instrument, this little vessel here in your mouth. It is an extremely, extremely dangerous thing if it's not used wisely. And that's why the Lord speaks so much about the power of the tongue. And that's what he's saying here, James. He says, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So you may say, no, I'm a real good Christian. This woman was trying to tempt me at work, but I overcame my passions. You know, I resisted. And there was this guy at work was trying to provoke me. And you know, he tried to get my temper up, but I overcame my temper. That's all well. But you undo all the good work with this one. All the good work that you do, all the good, noble testimony that you make, building your reputation over time, you can very quickly destroy that reputation with your tongue. Amen. That's how powerful the tongue is. And that's what James is going to show us. He says in verse 3, behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. So he's speaking of how important it is. And he says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, a little rudder there, whithersoever the governor listeth. So the whole course of the ship can be adjusted by that one little piece of wood, can bring that ship to a disaster or can bring that ship to the haven of rest. Just depends on who's governing that little instrument. Who's in charge of that little vessel? There'll be the big sails. There'll be all the big, you know, the mast. There'll be the big hold. There'll be the big wheel, you know, that they use, whatever you call it in a ship, to steer the ship. But all of those things can never have as much impact as that little vessel there at the back of the boat. That's what the Lord is saying. And the Lord is trying to say the same thing to us. That little vessel between your teeth in your mouth. It might seem such a small little thing, but there's never been so much damage done with anything. Not even gunpowder, nothing else has ever done as much damage as the tongue. Amen. That's a very powerful thing. But if you take that same little vessel and you put it in the hands of God and you allow God to use your tongue for the purpose that He designed it for, there's nothing that can bring such a blessing. There's the power of creation in the tongue. There's the power of life in the tongue. There's the power of healing in the tongue. It's a very powerful instrument, the tongue, depending on how we use it. So he speaks about that. He says, verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You see them in Australia, they're fighting those big bushfires and they've had to call people from all the surrounding states. They've got aeroplanes flying, dumping water and different things upon the fire. People being evacuated from their homes. It started with a little man with a match.
Amen.
It just took a little lick of fire like that, and look at the damage that that kind of a thing can do.
Amen.
That's what Paul is saying, what James is saying. He's saying if this tongue is lit by the wrong fire, it can do a tremendous amount of damage.
Amen.
This thing can destroy a church. It can break up a church. This thing can break up a marriage. This thing can break up relationships between brethren. This little vessel, the tongue, it's a very powerful little thing. He says in verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. To the natural man, to the unregenerate man, the tongue is a world of iniquity. It's so small, but what it can achieve is unbelievable. The power of the tongue. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. So you may fast the whole week. You may listen to messages every morning. And then you can defile your whole experience with this little member here. You can. You can defile the whole body with the tongue. Not only your body, but we can defile the whole body with the tongue. The body which is the church. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. You can use your tongue to make passion burn in somebody that's not your wife, somebody that's not your husband. You can use that to light passion, to ignite things in the lives of other people. You can raise up people to hate somebody when there's nothing that person's done wrong. But you can enrage people. You can get people almost to kill somebody just with the power of the tongue. It's a powerful thing, the tongue. It's a very thing. Look what he says in verse 8. But that, in verse 7, he says, for every kind of beast and of bird and of serpent and things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And then he says, is that just the unbeliever? No, no, let's continue on. Out of this, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. We come to church and hallelujah, praise the Lord. The Lord is so wonderful, God's heart, and you speak against your brother. Yeah, the same tongue that's been blessing God. You go now and you gossip against your sister. Gossip against your brother. Destroy someone's influence. Destroy someone's reputation. Friends, it's a dangerous thing, the tongue. And that's why James said, if someone can control their tongue, this is a perfect man. This is a mature person. If you can keep the tongue under control, you're a very mature kind of a person. He continues the same. Look, he says, verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And I say the same, these things should not be so. We shouldn't be praising the Lord on a weekend and then speaking against one another during the week. What kind of Christianity is that? Gossiping against people, saying things that are untrue against people. Friends, that's the devil's work in the midst of his people. We should never allow the tongue to be inspired by hellfire, James says. It should be inspired by Holy Ghost fire. That should be the right inspiration that governs this little member. Otherwise, it can do a lot of damage in the things of God. Then he continues on, verse 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? So how can you bless God, come and give a great testimony on a Sunday? Then you're speaking against your sister on a Monday. No, friends, we don't need those kind of things. Those are the things that put our church right down in the ditch. And now that God's taken us out of the ditch, we don't want these things again. We want to draw a line and say, these things, we don't want them anymore. We don't want things said in secret against anybody. If you've got something against somebody, go to them. Go and speak to them. Don't speak to somebody else. Do you know that St. Augustine, in his dining room, what he had? He had a sign on the wall saying, if you want to speak about anybody in this room who's not present, you're not welcome at this table. It's a very good one. Don't speak about people if they're not present. Don't criticize people when they're not there. What good are you doing? What good is it doing? Go to the person. If you've got a correction that you think needs to be made to me, come to me. Don't go to somebody else. If you don't understand or don't agree with somebody else in the church, go to them. Go and use that vessel the right way. Otherwise, it can be a vessel of corruption. It can be a vessel of division if you're not careful. And James continues in this, the whole chapter. He goes right down to the end. Now, let's get back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just read it once again. Because he's speaking about grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, there's different things we can do to the Holy Ghost. The Bible says we can quench the Spirit, yeah? That means when the Lord is trying to do something and you don't want to keep feeding the flame. When the Lord comes and visits you and he wants you to pray and there's a burden upon you to go and pray and you resist that and you go and do something else, you're quenching the Spirit. The Lord wanted to kindle the flame. He wanted it to burn deeper. He wanted it to burn more bright, but you quench it. We can also resist the Spirit, the Bible says. When he's trying to do something, we resist his influences. When he moves upon us and tells us, go and make this right with that person, or go and speak to this person, or go and do such and such a thing, we can resist his influences. But we can also grieve the Spirit. And that's something that you do want to do as a believer. And you will see that this is the instrument that grieves the Holy Spirit more than anything else that we can use. You know, people can fall in sin, but it's so rare to find adultery in the house of God. It's so rare to find fornication. It's so rare to find brothers beating each other up or fighting physically with one another. But the tongue, it's so common to find it. Even in the house of God, friends, it's a serious thing, the power of the tongue. So Paul is showing us here when he says it, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Then he shows what should proceed out of our mouths. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. That's what God made your tongue for. When God designed the human being, he had that purpose in mind. God didn't make your tongue for anything else. But Satan is a perverter of God's original purpose. And he comes now to take that very vessel that God has made for his glory. That God wants to put his word in your mouth. And let his word roll over your tongue. And be to the edification, the building up of the house of God. Be to the edification of the believers. To minister grace to the hearers. But instead the devil comes and anoints us. And that very vessel that God has set in your mouth to be such an instrument of blessing, it can be such a harsh instrument as well. It can be such a terrible thing. And he says in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, this isn't just obviously in the New Testament. Let's read a few Old Testament. I said it's a Bible study. Let's read from the book of Proverbs, because Solomon had a lot to say about the tongue. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. Listen to people who like to speak a lot, speak a lot, speak a lot, and don't think what they say. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. You know what that means? In the multitude of words, transgression is unavoidable. Yes. To people who just talk, 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 talk. It's impossible for you not to sin if you like that. If you can't control your tongue, it's impossible for you not to transgress God. It says, in the multitudes of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips, he that restrains his lips, is wise. That's maturity in the life of a person. When there'll be even something burning in you to say, but there's people there that don't need to hear what you're burning to say. Just because you're feeling to say it doesn't mean it's right to say it. That's immaturity. Children just speak anytime. Babies speak anytime. But when you become mature, you know who to say things in front of. You know when to say things and you know when things shouldn't be said. And that's maturity, friends. And that's what Solomon is saying. He who can restrain his lips is wise. What about Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20? Speaking about what we would call blabber mouths. Yeah? People that blabber, 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 blabber. You got to be careful. Proverbs 29, verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? That you quickly speak, but you haven't thought it through. You haven't thought of the consequences of the things that you're saying. You haven't thought of how it's going to affect those people that are there sitting in that room when you say it. You're hasty in your words. There's more hope of a fool than of him. Right? The Lord doesn't spare on this issue in the scriptures, friends. God is very, very strong when he speaks about the power of the tongue. Because he knows how destructive it can be, and he knows how constructive it can be. And it's one of those vessels that it's very easy when you start getting low in the spirit, when you're not in the right spirit, it's so easy to say far more than you should. Sometimes the best thing when you're out of the spirit, stay to yourself. When you find you've got a real spirit of criticism, or you've got a real bad spirit around you, don't go and visit other people and get among young people and get among new people in the church and so forth. Because you'll say hasty words. You'll say things, and you may have built up a good reputation over a long period of time. And just in that one transgression, you can destroy all the good work you were doing up to there. You can spoil all the good work that you've been building up over time just because you were hasty in your speech. You didn't think twice and speak once, like they say. But instead, whatever just comes into your mind, you just say it when it's there. Friends, don't do that. It'll never work for your honor, and it'll never work for the good of the house of God. It'll never. And that's why the Lord warns us. There's more hope of a fool than of him. What about Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21? We know this one, but look what it says at the end of the verse. Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. But it doesn't stop there. And it says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you're going to get a harvest from what comes out of your mouth. If you speak under the influence of the Holy Ghost, you're going to get a spiritual harvest. You're going to get a harvest of blessing. But if you speak under the wrong influence, you're still going to get a harvest. You're still going to harvest a crop down the way. But it's not a nice thing when you get that kind of a harvest. When you've said something and it gets out amongst the saints, and it goes here and it goes there and it goes there, and then it's time for that to be corrected, and the harvest starts coming back to you now. It's not a pleasant experience to have. When there's 5, 6 people who have been influenced by what you said, and each and every one of them starts pointing their finger back to you and says, but it was Sister So-and-so who told me that. That's reaping a harvest. That's not the kind of harvest that you want. And that's why it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you love his word, if you speak unto the edification of the saints, if you minister grace to the hearers, you're going to get a harvest. You'll get a harvest of blessing. You'll get a harvest of goodwill. When your hard time comes, there's going to be a harvest of people that are going to stand to edify you at that time, to lift you up before the Lord. But when you've sown another kind of a seed, a word seed, which you shouldn't have sown, it does come back to you. Jesus says, that which was said in secret shall be proclaimed from the housetops. You may think we don't know some of the things people say. We know just about everything that people say. You'd be surprised. You know, you might think that you're getting away with this or that, but friends, nothing much escapes the house of God. Like I said, brother Billy up there in Belfast, when that brother was backslid and, you know, secretly sinning, and he went to the pub, that he was speaking all his filthy things in the pub and not realizing he still had his old Nokia phone in his pocket. And the Holy Ghost said, it's time now for the pastor to hear what this brother's saying in the pub. And he didn't realize, but as he moved, he dialed the number in his pocket. And the brother Billy woke up 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, oh, brother so-and-so's phoning me. He says, hello. Brother wasn't phoning him. And then he listened to what he was saying and the situation that he was in. That's not the kind of harvest that you want to reap, saints. You'd rather reap a harvest of blessings. But death and life is in the power of the tongue. The prophet says in new ministry, we know this, but just in this context, he says, there's just certain things that we can say that takes a hold with the Holy Spirit. Certain things that pleases Him just right. And when we say that thing, I want you to notice what you say. If we could just find what to say, your words judge you, your words condemn you, or your words will bless you. Hey, this tongue is so important. How we control it, the governing spirit and motive behind this little vessel will determine so much of our spiritual inheritance. We'll inherit so much of how far we're going to go in the things of the kingdom of God. Because how can you be trusted to stand with the secrets of the Lord? Yeah? When you can't even be faithful with your tongue. You can't be. You're limiting yourself from going any higher in the things of God. Because you can't be faithful with this vessel. You can't keep it under control. You can't restrain your tongue from saying things, hasty things that shouldn't have been said. Where I just started on this thought was, I don't know who preached it that day, but they mentioned that quote about Sister Grace Weber. You know, and I'd read it before, and this week I was listening to the message, and then I came across it. Now, let me read it again, the full one. It's from the message, Make the Valley Full of Ditches. The prophet says, a lady in my church, Mrs. Weber, she was dying with TB. In the sanatorium in the last stages, they sent her home to die. Nothing could be done for her. She lives in Jeffersonville, just beyond the tabernacle. She's got 5 or 6 little children. And the angel of the Lord came to me that night and said, go and tell Mrs. Weber, tell Mr. Weber rather, to get things ready. Because he's going to be left with those children on his hands, for his wife is going. And I went and I told Mr. Weber, I told his little girl, little Jean Rose, she's now a nurse, about 7 years ago or so. I said, now Jeannie, your mother's going to die. She can't but live a little while longer. And 2 days after that, or 3, some ladies from the government depot there where she worked, Grace Weber, Grace Weber said to them, if I could only have Brother Bill to pray for me once more. I saw when my cousin Opal was healed with that cancer. The doctors gave her till morning to live. And the girls from out at the government where she worked with her said, there ain't nothing to that guy about the prophet, yeah? He isn't nothing but a hypocrite. That's all that religion is just a bunch of fake fanaticism. And so Mrs. Weber said, look, I'm a dying. I know that. But I won't stand still for that. Friends, it doesn't matter the atmosphere that you're in. It doesn't matter who you're with. When people start speaking wrong, be like Sister Weber. And say, it doesn't matter. I might be younger than all of you people, but I'm not going to stand for that. That's what we should do. But sometimes we just get swept along in the crowd. Or we just keep quiet when iniquity and transgressions being made. Friends, you don't realize how far reaching these things go. So these women started to say that. I said, but I won't stand still for that. She said, I know better than that. I've lived right here around the city, around that man all the time. I've seen him from a child grow up. You can call it fake if you want to, but I have seen so much of God healing the people, and I know the man's life, and I know that it's true. Now you might think it finished there. It didn't finish there. Because God heard what she said. God heard what those other women said. And God heard what she said. And it happened to be, the prophet says, the angel of the Lord heard that. And that very night, sitting on the side of my chair in the room, I got up, went to get a drink of water, 3 a.m, sitting on a chair. I seen him come walking through the door. He said, tomorrow, they're going to pack Miss Weber up and bring her down. She'll be sitting on the right-hand side, far back in the tabernacle. Said, I heard her. And tell her, I heard her. What she said. And tell her, Thus saith the Lord. She's going to live. She's not going to die. Friends, that's the power of your tongue. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. Imagine if she'd have given in and agreed with those people. Like all these people fighting the message now. Be careful what you accept, friends. When somebody speaks against the prophet and his visions, the angel of the Lord hears it, friends. But when someone stands for him, he hears it as well. And he doesn't forget. He doesn't forget. There you are. Tell her, thus saith the Lord. She'll live and not die. There you are. You can go down and see if you like. It's been about 7 years ago. You see, his presence was there. And he found her. So she came and told, and he came and told me what she said to these women. He had respect to her because she had respect to that which was representing God. Oh, friends, it's a serious thought. God respected her because she respected what was representing God to her. Even though there was criticism. Just like this day that we're living in. Now you say, is that a scriptural thing? Let's go and look in Malachi. Malachi 3. It doesn't matter how bad the conditions are. Doesn't matter how far things go down. Don't allow yourself to be influenced by that kind of a condition. You make your stand for that which is right. In Malachi 3, you read the whole book of Malachi. The Lord is complaining about the people because the people are complaining about God. Look at what the people say in Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. The Lord is saying, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. The people speaking against God. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? You've said it's vain to serve God. Yeah. What kind of thing is that? You look on Facebook and you see your old friends that you used to be at college with. Yeah, now they've got the big flashy cars. They've got all the jewelry and all that. And you say, does it really profit me to serve God? Be careful. Amen. God hears those things. Amen. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Amen. And don't forget, it's even deeper than that. The angel told the prophet, your thoughts in heaven speak louder than your words on earth. Amen. Be careful what you meditate upon. Be careful what you allow to roost inside of the inner veil there. Amen. Be careful. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable before thee, O Lord. Guard your heart, for out of it proceed the issues of life. Be careful who you listen to. When a critic of the message comes, I don't give them much time. When somebody sends me an email at something against the message, it goes straight into deleted items and I block that account. I'm not going to feed my soul on things that are trying to come to poison my experience. Be careful what you listen to. God has vindicated a message, friends. God has vindicated a message of the hour. He vindicated a messenger. We may not understand everything the prophet says. We may not be able to piece all the things together. But we know from his life that was a man of God. We know from his testimony he was a prophet of God. We know he was Malachi 4. And he was sent to us. And we testify of it. And the angel of the Lord hears what we say. And he won't forget. But when you're criticizing the in secret, the angel of the Lord hears it, friends. And then your child gets sick and you wonder why there's no anointing to come to deliver your child. Misfortune comes at work. You have no authority in your experience to challenge that situation. Amen. It's sometimes this is the greatest enemy that we have. Because we speak hastily. We allow things to come out. And once they go out, we can't bring them back. And by your words, you're either judged or you're blessed. So the people are saying it's vain to serve God. And what prophet is it that we have kept his ordinances? That is backsliding talk. Amen. If you're thinking like that, you backslidden in your experience. Amen. You may be present in the house of the Lord, but spiritually you backslidden. Amen. If you're thinking to say, but is it worthwhile? What have I ever gained by following this message? Friends, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me is this message. Amen. Nothing in my life that ever happened to me apart from salvation. The greatest thing God ever did to me was to send this message to me. Send this message. Cost me a lot of friends. When I believe this message, it cost you a lot of friends as well. It's caused a lot of misunderstanding with people that I was very close to before. It hasn't been an easy road, but do we regret it? We'll never regret it. Because this is God's provided way. And make sure you speak that. Make sure that you confess it. Let the words of your mouth be acceptable before the Lord. Let the words of your mouth. They said, what profit is it that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? We go to church on a Sunday. We go on a Wednesday. We go on a Friday. But it's like that. Oh, I'm tired of going. Oh, no. Other people don't go. Then we have so many meetings on Christmas. Oh, so many meetings. Friends, what is Christmas? What is Christmas?
Amen.
It's to remember Christ.
Amen.
What do you want to do? Remember Christ in blank sense? Is that what you want to remember Christ? You remember Christ in His house.
Amen.
You consecrate yourself to Him. You appreciate the things of God. Amen. Be careful what you say. God hears what you say.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if we hear. It's what He hears that's important.
Amen.
And that's the harvest that you're going to reap depending on the words that you say. And the people were saying that. Verse 15. And now we call the proud happy. Yeah. They're saying, look at those people, how happy they are. Oh, look how they're rejoicing. Yeah. You don't know what's happening behind doors.
Amen.
You don't know what's happening in those people's lives. We had a man come to our work to do a course for us just a few months back. And he gave us an example. He says, you know, whenever I used to drive my children to school, there was Mr. and Mrs. Perfect, and their family used to walk down the pavement when I went to school. He said, they were so perfect. Their smiles were so perfect. They'd walk hand in hand. He says, and I'd be coming from home, and things hadn't been so good in the morning. He says, and that used to always condemn me. He says, sometimes I almost felt I wanted to. He says, because they were too perfect. He says, and then one day my wife came home and told me, hey, you know what's happened? The man was in adultery and he's left that woman. He says, never judge things by appearances.
Amen.
Those people you see on Facebook, some of them are drug addicts.
Amen.
Some of them are so demon-possessed, so tormented inside of their life. Some of them have got suicidal tendencies. But they can smile so nice. We call the proud happy. Don't call them happy.
Amen.
Blessed are the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Blessed are you when God calls you. Blessed are they who are not offended in me, Jesus said. Friends, it's blessed to be a son of God. It's blessed to be a daughter of God. No matter all the strife we have to go through, all the misunderstandings, never regret it for a day. Because at the end of the road, there's a harvest time. There's a harvest time. We get it in this life and in the world to come. That's what the Bible says. So the people were complaining. We call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Verse 16. God hears it, friends.
Amen.
Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord. And that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. God hears it. And Sister Grace Weber, God heard it. And God remembered it. And that's why you've got to be careful. We don't undo the good work. You've got to make sure that don't start well and then finish bad.
Amen.
It's not Him who starts the race, it's Him that finishes the race.
Amen.
That's what we called unto. We called unto perfection. We called unto adoption. We called unto the prize. The prize of the high calling in Christ. Don't get waylaid along the way. Now, let's have a look at James in verse 26. James 1 verse 26. He's going to give us a very strong principle here. James 1 verse 26. If any man among you seems to be religious, you can quote all the quotes. Yeah? You can tell us which day of the week certain messages were preached on. You can tell us all those kind of things. You seem to be religious. And he bridles not his tongue. but deceives his own heart. This man's religion is vain. If you cannot control your tongue, your religion is vain. That's what the Bible is saying. You know what that means? Vain means useless. Unprofitable to himself and other people. All of your preaching, your praying, your hearing, attendance at church is of no good to you. Imagine after all the things that you do, you fast, you pray, you seek the Lord, and then you undo all of that work because you can't control this. Imagine, God raises you up, God wants to establish you, God wants to prosper you, but because you cannot control your tongue, all the things that you're doing never bring forth the fruit that they're supposed to bring forth. It's a serious thing that he's telling us, James, here. He's warning us, if a man cannot control his tongue, though he seems to be religious, though he might jump up and down, though he may speak with tongues. Listen what the prophet says about that. Now the prophet says about how the world, it's looking for one thing. He says, in hidden life in Christ, there's where the church is failing in one place. Overcoming. Overcoming your temper. Overcoming indifference. Overcoming church prejudice. Overcoming hatred. Many people tonight who shout and speak with tongues and run up and down the aisle, yet they hate their neighbor. You're religious in vain. Amen. All that shouting and speaking in tongues, it's in vain. Amen. It doesn't mean much if you hate your neighbor. Amen. If you can't speak well about your sister. Amen. If you gossip about your brother. Amen. All of our religion is vain. That's what the prophets say. No matter how spiritual you'll feel when you speak with tongues, what a wonderful thing that it is. But that doesn't mean that you're spiritual. It's how you control this thing. Amen. Is going to determine much of where we go. The prophet says that. He says, you shout and you speak with tongues. You run up and down the aisle and you hate your neighbor. Listen to what he says. Brother, you are lost yet. That's hard to say, but that's the truth. Right, overcome. You have to overcome. You say, I'm eating manna, glory to God. Yes, but look what happens from one day to the other. You come and you bless the Lord in his house, the prophet says, but that same mouth that blesses the Lord, you can speak against your brother on a Monday and a Tuesday. It's all in vain. Amen. All that God was trying to do to and in you on Sunday, you've undone it all on Monday and Tuesday. Because you couldn't control your tongue. Amen. Couldn't control your tongue. And what hearest thou, Elijah? The prophet says, oh, you can speak with tongues. You can jump over the seats and shout and beat the tambourines. And then talk about your neighbor out there. Don't you ever expect God to answer prayer for you. That's right. Amen. It's a serious thought. You say, oh, such a wonderful time. You know, when I was in the house of the Lord, there was such an anointing. And I prayed and I asked God to do this. And then you went and disqualified yourself on Tuesday. By speaking against your sister. By speaking against another brother. The prophet says, don't expect God to answer your prayers. Amen. Until you go and make that thing right. Amen. Until you go and make that thing right. Listen, another couple of things which the prophet says. He says, and take inside with Jesus. He says, now I want to take the subject here of take inside with Jesus. The Pharisees and leaders of his day always tried to belittle him before the people. So you can see straight away it was satanic. Amen. They were trying to destroy Jesus' influence. And how were they doing it? They were speaking about Jesus when he wasn't there. And they were speaking about certain faults which they said that he had, which he didn't have. And if the people that had been listening had just gone and investigated, they would have found it's all lies. Hallelujah. This is all lies. Yes. Always tried to belittle him before the people. That was just the way the devil had of working. All the Pharisees, the teachers, constantly trying to belittle Jesus. Any throw-off they could give to him, they did it. They never spoke of his good things. They were always trying to find something they could belittle about him. Now you can see the whole governing spirit behind them was wrong. Friends, if you and I are sitting down, if I sit down with Brother Wilmore and we start speaking and we're trying to find certain faults in a certain person, you can see that the motive and objective of what we're saying right from the beginning is wrong. Amen. We can see the spirit behind this vessel is not going to minister blessing. It's not going to minister edification. It's not going to minister grace to the hearers. Because the whole motive and objective in what we're saying isn't right. No matter how religious we may make it sound, no matter how convincing our arguments may be, but the very spirit that we're in shows the source of what's lit this vessel. It's been lit with hellfire. It's a world of iniquity now. It's going to destroy. Now, just while we're in the middle of that, listen to what they say in science. There's an article called Words Have Power. So choose them wisely. Words cannot change reality, but they can change how people perceive reality. Words create filters through which people view the world around them. A single word can make the difference between liking a person and disliking that person. If a friend describes the person you're about to meet for the first time as untrustworthy, you will be predisposed to view that person as untrustworthy. Regardless of the person's actual level of trustworthiness, the single word untrustworthy creates a filter that predisposes you to view the person you're about to meet as untrustworthy. Thereafter, you will tend to view everything that person says or does as untrustworthy. Just one little word, one little lie about somebody. You can influence a whole group of people to hate that person. Yes. One little word. Yet maybe it's not even the truth. It's not based on truth whatsoever. But it doesn't matter what truth is. Truth is what people perceive it to be. And if I sit down and we have a meeting and then I say, you know, Brother Vlad this and Brother Vlad that, I don't trust Brother Vlad. All of those people that I'm sitting with, unless they're mature people, the next time they meet Brother Vlad, they're going to be looking through a filter now. They're going to be looking at him as an untrustworthy kind of a person. Friends, this destroys the house of God. This is absolutely the devil. That's how we should never speak of the faults of anybody else to other people. Don't speak to them. That's God's provided way. Listen to what the prophet says. That scheme has never ceased. But you know, the real Christian way is to hide everything you can from a brother. So if I know a certain person, they did a certain thing, and then I'm fellowshipping together with a whole group of people, let me not be hasty with my tongue, lest I be worse than a fool, the Bible says. But let me restrain my tongue. Because those people don't need to hear that, because it's not going to minister edification to them. It's not going to minister grace unto the hearers. It's not going to help them at all. It's going to sow the seed of discord. And there's seven things God hates, and one of them is he that sows discord among brethren. And that's why, friends, this is our enemy. We must never tolerate. The prophet is not the person, but that spirit. Let's never tolerate that spirit. The moment somebody, you're with someone, they want to start bringing up the faults of somebody else, and that person's not present, don't accept that. Amen. Tell them, this isn't the right time to speak. Yes. Oh, did you go and speak to that person about what you're saying? Right. Oh, why are you telling me this? Amen. Are you trying to win me to your cause? Amen. Are you trying to win me to your faction? Why are you telling me this? How is this going to help me in my spiritual walk? How is this going to help me as a believer? Is this going to bring me closer to Christ? Is this going to minister unity in the body? Is this going to deepen the anointing of the Holy Ghost in our midst? Or are you not working against the very purpose that we're trying to achieve? By not controlling your tongue, this member, which can be inspired by hellfire. The prophet says the real Christian way is to hide everything you can from a brother. Don't tell his bad things. Just tell his good things. Just tell what you know about him that's good. If anything is bad, let it alone. The poor fellow has enough against him anyhow. Don't try to take a pole and shove a man further in the ditch. The Christian attitude, pick him up and take him out of the ditch. So if someone's not walking right with God, use that tongue the right way. Pray for that person. Use the tongue the right way. Edify that person. Use the tongue the right way. Encourage that person. Don't use the tongue to drag them down. Take their name right through the mud. in front of victims, innocent people. We don't even have, they've got nothing to do with what you're speaking about. That's how Paul was saying. It must be unto edification. Let no corrupt communication come from your mouth. But it must edify the hearers. It must build up the person. And how can gossip build people up? It doesn't. Hebrews chapter 7, part 2, Jeffersonville. You people with these saw blade tempers. That's always spouting off in the mouth at somebody. You can't put up in things like that. Be careful. You're guilty if you speak a word against your brother. That's not right. You don't have to stick a knife in a man's back to kill him. You can break his character and kill him, kill his influence. And it shows the objective. There's a motive. That conversation just didn't come from nowhere. It didn't just drop down fresh at that time. There's a history behind that speech. There's certain things that have been happening with beyond the veil inside of somebody. They've been looking at somebody. They took an offense. They never went the right way to resolve that offense with that person. And then there becomes a root of bitterness. Then you start getting anointed with the wrong spirit within the realm. And instead of it being a fountain of blessing that's going to come out, it's a polluted fountain that comes out now. And anything that you say against that person, it's not truthful what you're saying. It's what you want people to think about that person, because that's what you think about that person. The prophet said that's killing a person's influence. We should never kill a person's influence. Listen about the power of negativity. This really, really spoke to me when I read it today. Several years ago, a survey asked mothers to keep a daily record of how many times they made negative and positive comments to their children. The results were startling. The mothers documented they made critical remarks 10 times more often than encouraging words. And that's true. Is it not easy? We all know what it's like. How many positive things do we say? How many encouraging things do we say? It's just so much easier to say negative things. It's just so much easier to say critical things. Just so much easier to say correction than it is edification. Depending on the spirit that we're in. But mothers tend to 10 times more negative things to their children than positive. Statistics reveal that in an average household, children hear no or are told they can't more than 148,000 times by the time they reach 18. And many times they were guilty. Yeah, but not all the time. One school did its own three-year survey and discovered that teachers were negative with their students 75% of the time. The study also determined it required 4 positive statements from a teacher to offset the effects of 1 negative statement. Ah, friends, let's not be found in that kind of a category. Let's wrestle against negativity. Let's not allow it. When we're negative, let's go and say sorry as quickly as we can to get ourselves out of that frame of mind. Let's be positive. Let the things that we say minister blessing to the people. Let's finish off by just looking at Ephesians 4, just a little bit more in depth there. Verse 29. Just to take each of these words and just understand it a bit. Like I said, just a bit of a Bible study. When it says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. That's the very first thing that it says. That word corrupt means unwholesome. It's unwholesome. It's not wholesome communication. It's not something that ministers health to people. It's not really what you want somebody to be saying. It's unwholesome. If you can quickly, sister, while we're there, while we're on that scripture, can you go to Proverbs, please? We'll just read a couple of more. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Just look how powerful the tongue is. There is that speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. Our friends, we can make our local body so much more healthy if we just speak things that are unto edification. But there's certain things we can say that pierce like a sword. You know what it's like. You hear somebody say something against you. You were feeling victorious. You had momentum. You wanted to go forward. Somebody comes and tells you, like somebody throws water on you. You just, all that zeal is gone. All that momentum is gone. If you're not careful. But if you're wise, you realize, like a boxer, when you've taken a blow, like a prophet says, quickly recover yourself. Great, so I'm not going to let the devil rob me of the blessing. And then you push on. But friends, there's certain kinds of speaking that pierces right inside like a sword. What about Proverbs 10, verse 21? This is what you want it to be. The lips of the righteous feed many. But fools die for want of wisdom. But the lips of the righteous, the lips of the righteous feed many. Don't you want that to be your testimony? Don't you want to feed your children? Don't you want to feed the young people in church? Don't you want to feed your brothers and your sisters? But once you get yourself in a negative spirit, it's not easy to do. You first have to separate yourself and overcome yourself.
Amen.
Get yourself back in that place that you can be a vessel that he can use unto edification. Amen. Proverbs 15 verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. But the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Ask yourself this week, what have you been dispersing? What seed have you been sowing? That's a harvest you're going to get. If you're sowing negativity to your children all the time, it's going to come back to you as a harvest.
Amen.
It's going to come back. If you're always criticizing your children, always saying things in public, always bringing them down, you're sowing a seed. You're sowing a seed. You're sowing a seed. And there's the power of the tongue. There's the power of the word. And that'll come back. Proverbs 16, we'll read one more. Verse 24. Listen to this one. Proverbs 16, 24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Ah, friends, you can go and visit some. We once went to visit somebody who was dying in the hospital in London. Brother George knows the story. I went. I remember going in there. This girl was right at the point. She had almost died. And we just went and we sat next to her and I started to testify to her and ask her if things were right with God. And after a while, she started sitting on the edge of the bed and then she was coming back. It's incredible how much the tongue can change a situation. It's incredible the power that's inside of the tongue. So when Paul is saying that, he says, now listen to what he's saying. He says, let no corrupt communication. Let no corrupt communication come from us. That word corrupt, it's like taking vegetables when they get rotten. When you take food and it gets rotten. Yeah? You don't want to keep it in the midst of your other food. It's going to contaminate. It brings an odor. There's a smell. You don't want to be around that smell. That's exactly the word that the Holy Ghost uses about certain things that we say. Corrupt communication coming out of our mouths. It's that kind of a thing. It doesn't only affect itself, but wherever it is, it affects things. Somebody who's got corrupt communication, they'll sit in the midst of people, and every single person, they will be contaminated by the end. Somebody can come in, there's a sweet atmosphere. There's life in a place. And a person can come in with that little vessel, the tongue, you can completely contaminate that atmosphere. You can make spiritually it stink the whole place. Until genuine people don't feel comfortable to be there anymore. People just want to leave that atmosphere. That's why the prophet says it's an atmosphere that you generate. And one of the most powerful tools that you use to generate the atmosphere around you is this little vessel here. By the things that you say. The things that you say about yourself. That's why the prophet says never speak negative. Don't speak yourself down. Never say, ah, me, I'm hopeless. Ah, me, I'll never be. No, never say that. You want to say what God says about you. Say, God has plans for me. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. He shall provide all my needs. You just speak what he says. Don't speak negative things. That's corrupt communication. He says, let no corrupt communication come out from your mouth. But what should come out of our mouths? That actually means let no unwholesome words ever pass your lips. That's why James is saying it's a perfect man who can do these kinds of things. That's why he says we all offend. You get caught on a bad time, someone steps on your toes, you say something, you know, I shouldn't have said that. But a genuine believer goes and makes it right.
Amen.
Genuine believer says, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to say it like that. And that reverses things as far as you possibly can. That's corrupt communication coming out of your mouth. But what the Lord wants is for you to minister edification unto the hearers. I'm just trying to find one scripture. Colossians 4, verse 5, if you could please, sister. Colossians 4. What does Paul say to the Colossians about these things? Just as we come to a close. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, to the unbelievers. Yeah? Walk in wisdom to them. Redeeming the time. Verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Oh, friends. What is grace? Unmerited favor. Even when that person doesn't deserve it, you say it. You might say, I shouldn't speak positive about that person. They don't deserve it. What did Christ say about you and me when we didn't deserve it? Huh? How does he deal with us? When you come to church and you haven't been faithful during the week, what does he do? He comes to edify you. He comes to speak grace to you. He comes to remind you who you are. He comes to remind you of the potential that's inside of you. He doesn't just come and tell you all the time, but last week you didn't pray very much. Last week you didn't listen to the whole message. You fell asleep when you were listening to the message. He doesn't say that. Last week you were joking with all those people at work. That's not the way that Christ does it. He comes with grace. Whenever he speaks to us, it's grace that comes to us. It's to build us up once again. It's to edify us. Whenever he speaks to us, he wants to edify us. So Paul is saying, if you are born again and the Spirit of Christ is in you, you do the same thing. You do the same thing as him. Even if your child isn't perfect, don't always be speaking about the imperfection. Be encouraging them. Speak of the good things that they do. Don't always focus on the bad things which they do. It's not going to help. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. That's a preservative. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. The hasty man doesn't know how to answer. You're in the midst of people. Maybe somebody's brand new to the faith. Mature people know the right way to speak. Yeah? Other people that just want to dump the whole load on somebody. If you listen to that testimony of Earl Martin, it was very good. When he went down there among the Methodist people, I spoke it the other day, and the prophet went down and preached that he was invited to the Methodist college. Now the Methodists don't have very much light. So the prophet went and he was a seasoned man. He went and he ministered edification. He used wisdom in what he said. He only said so much. Then Brother Earl Martin says he went after this. Well, let me tell these people some more about the message. And he went and told them about water baptism and all those kind of things. And the next day, when he got up, he heard, Brother Branham wants to see you, brothers. He's not happy with you, brothers. And they went to see the prophet. And the prophet says, you brothers, what were you doing? He says, when you go hunting, you were just telling me the other day, Brother Earl, when you're preparing your bullets and you put in the gunpowder in your bullets, if you're going to kill a rabbit, you only put a little bit of gunpowder. You don't fill up the whole cartridge to kill a rabbit. That was very good advice. Sometimes when you're speaking to a new person, don't put the whole double barrel shotgun full of gunpowder to tell them everything at the same time. You take just a little bit of gunpowder because you understand where they are in the faith. And you want your speech to be seasoned with salt. You want it to be able to build them up a little bit from where they are. That's what Paul is saying. Let your speech be like that. Let it be like that. What about Jesus? What did he say? Let's read that scripture which the prophet says. I think it's Matthew chapter 12. I've just got a bit mixed up here on my notes. Forgive me for that. But when the prophet speaks about by your words you shall be condemned, or by your words you shall be blessed. That's a very, very important principle that he's speaking about there, the Lord Jesus, if I can find it here. If not, you know the scripture anyhow. In fact, let's read Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. Hebrews 5, verse 13. When you speak into people, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Well, he's a babe. So when you speak into a babe, it's so obvious, friends. Just give them milk. Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age. So why do we ever say things in front of people that they're not able to bear? Is that wisdom? No matter how true it is. If they can't bear it, you're not ministering grace to them. You're not edifying them. That needs the spirit of discernment. You yourself know when you start speaking to somebody and you can feel straight away, this isn't going anywhere. You haven't connected with the person. You haven't come down and found exactly a starting point to start with that kind of a person. You know the best thing to do then? Ask them some questions. But sometimes we don't want to ask questions. We want to speak at 75 words a minute. Yeah, we want to say just everything we need. It's my duty. I need to speak to this person. And at the end of it all, what good was achieved? Did it minister grace? Did it edify? Did it build up? Did it achieve the purpose? But you know, God never does that. He says in his word, the word that I speak, it'll never return to me without achieving the purpose that I sent. He knows exactly the word to send at the right time. That's why he sends us the message of the hour. It's the right word in season. It's exactly what we need. It's the message of the hour. It's exactly what we needed to hear to overcome at this time. And if we are wise and we're in the spirit, when you speak into somebody, you will find exactly the right word to say. Exactly what that person needs to overcome whatever situation they're in. To make a decision that they need to be made. But it needs wisdom, friends. It needs the ability to get yourself out the way. The ability to hold back. Sometimes you need to let them speak. Remember Jesus, when he came to them on the way to Emmaus, he wasn't so quick in telling them all the answers. He drew near and he says, what are you speaking about? He first listened to what they were saying. Then he started to ask them questions. Why are you troubled? What are you saying? And then he let them start saying what was inside of their hearts. And then he came with the word in season. Fools and slow of heart to believe. All that the prophets have spoken. I think we'd learn a real good lesson from that as well, friends. Is that not your desire in this year that lays before? That what you say ministers grace to people. That what you say edifies people. Because anything else, it's a corrupt communication. It's rotten. It's just worthless communication. And the Bible says, redeeming the time. Amen. We don't have too many opportunities at things in this life. You're not going to get so many opportunities to sit down with a person to help them. Now, if you're just going to joke around and play around at that kind of a time, you may not get another opportunity. Amen. And God sent that person your way because they needed to hear a word in season. Amen. They needed to hear something that was going to minister grace to them right then. And if we don't sense the season and move into that place, that opportunity passes by. And once it's passed by, you can't redeem that chance once again. That's why Paul is saying to us, don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Don't grieve. Be careful how you speak. Be measured in what you say. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Put yourself in that person's shoes. Try to connect with that person. Try to understand where are they. And no matter how much something may be burning inside of your heart to say, if the people can't bear it, don't say it. Amen. If it's not for their consumption, keep it within yourself. And God will bless us. And God will take us forward. And if you do say something wrong, be man or woman enough to go and say sorry. Amen. Go to that person. Be man and woman enough to say to the people that you gave false information to, this was false what I said. I shouldn't have said that. And sometimes it's just a genuine misunderstanding. Somebody might have told you something. You thought a certain something. But sometimes we need to check our facts first. Amen. Before we start spreading things around. It'll help us, friends. It'll help the atmosphere in this church. Amen. It'll help us going forward. It'll help in relationships. Amen. If we had sought these things out, we'd have far less problems in the home between husband and wife. Amen. There'd be far less problems between parents and children. Be careful of the things that we say. Amen. But from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. Let's stand, saints. Amen. The power of the tongue. Amen. Now, the prophet says when you preach, it's a two-edged sword. It goes and it comes. And that's why you study certain things, because you can see certain things. I desire to be better. I desire to be better in the way I speak to my wife, to my children, the way I speak to, you know, people when you're under pressure. I'm sure you're the same. And the first thing that you need to recognize is God's will about something. When you say, but Lord, there's a perfect something which is set before us. Help us, O Lord. That is my desire. I'll go with him through the judgment. No, the judgment begins in the house of God.
Hallelujah.
The Bible said if we would judge ourselves, then we wouldn't need to be judged. So some people's sins follow them to judgment, but other people's go before. And as we come before the white throne this evening, let's accept judgment. Where we've been guilty, let's plead guilty. As we'd come to pray, you just plead guilty. Where you've been guilty, you say, Lord, I've been guilty. I should never have spoken to people the way that I did. I should never have spoken to my husband the way that I did. I'm so sorry, Lord, though I've spoken to my children. I'm so sorry for what I said about people, about brothers and sisters, about this, whatever it is. If you're guilty, confess your guilt. Acknowledge, plead guilty, because Jesus has already paid the debt. The song says, Jesus dropped the charges. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's be careful. We're not like them or the Corinthians, failing to discern the body of the Lord. And that's the reason many of them were sick. Many of them were weak in the experience. Some of them even slept. Some of them had died. Failing to discern the body of the Lord. But let's find ourselves guilty this evening. Let's in ourselves come to the altar in our hearts. And let's ask the Lord to renew us once again, to wash us, to cleanse us, and to send us forth that our tongue may be an instrument, a vessel of blessing as we'd go forth. Let's all pray this evening. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, just wanting to look unto Thee, I come before Thee, Lord. I'm so very sorry, Lord, in Your precious name. Oh, Father, Lord, we've been guilty, Lord Jesus, of these things myself. I don't want to come, Jesus. I don't want to get the Lord. Let's sing one more. We just asked Brother Will, if you wouldn't mind coming to close for us. May God bless you up to Sunday, please. Let's keep the service in prayer for Sunday. May the Lord's will be done.
Christ, I'm saved.
Just so sweet to hear your word, no matter which way it rubs against us or in our direction. How we delight in your commands tonight, Lord. They are not grievous, they are sweet unto us, Father. Lord, tonight has been proof of how you love us, Lord. And you are willing to take us from where you have put us on this ground unto a higher ground. And Father, you have brought your word that we may make sure there's no leaven at all. For you are desiring to meet with us, Lord. How we thank you, Father. Oh God, we see what it means now to quicken our pace as we head at the beginning of this year. And indeed, you are helping us, O God, to quicken it, O God. Father, and you have come tonight, Lord, and you have made us to look once again in our hearts, Lord, to see and to check if everything is all right. Father, and we so much thank you that, Lord, your word did not come only to condemn us, Lord, but it has come to encourage us, Lord. It has come to show us how to fight the battle. It has come to show us how to control the members of our body, Lord. Father, it has come, Lord, O God, to show us thy wisdom, Lord, and how to overcome ourselves, Lord. How thankful we are tonight. Help us, O God, that as we go from this place, Lord, we may be more than hearers of this word. Lord, that we may be doers of it, Lord. Help us, Father, that if there be anything you may bring to our minds, Lord, to make right, that we be zealous thereof, Lord, and repent, Lord, and do that which you have revealed unto us, Father. O God, I pray that you would help us as we would go in our cars, in the buses, wherever we go, Lord, that this word may be the meditation of our hearts, Lord, that Father, oh God, we may see how serious this battle is, oh God, we may see how the enemy has been trying to win ground against us, oh indeed, we have lost much time, Lord, because of the tongue, yet Father, we are determined this year not to let the enemy to do anything in this area, Lord. Father, we stand against him tonight. Amen. Lord, having been equipped with thy word, amen, help us, Lord, to stand steadfast, Lord. Amen. One brother with another, yes. Lord, one sister with another, oh God, shoulder to shoulder in prayer. Lord, oh God, to make sure, no matter how small our part, Lord, but to resist this enemy, oh God. Amen. Father, oh, we pray, Father, may you continue to lead us, Lord. This is very sweet unto us, Lord. We never want to lose it again. Amen. Oh, for we have tasted how it is like to walk without God. And Father, we are so thankful you are here with us again. Help us, Father, to be so diligent, oh God, that Father, we may be zealous, Lord. We may be constantly on the lookout, that when the enemy tries to rise in this area of the tongue, oh, we may refuse him straight away. We may send the package back to the sender, even as our brother Vladimir testified. Be merciful and help us. I pray for every brother, every sister that are helping here in the ministry. Lord, help us to be of one spirit, Lord, of one accord, that we may work one with the other. Oh, God, to bring honor and glory unto you, Father. I pray, oh, God, bless our brother Andrew. Oh, how he has labored, Lord, to lead your people. I pray you'd help him, Lord. I pray you protect him, oh Father. I pray, Lord, you'd give him more and more wisdom, Lord, more inspiration, Lord, and strength, oh Father, to continue to lead us, Father. Oh God, for if, Lord, we don't pray for him, Lord, if we don't Father, ask you to lead him, Lord. Yes. How, where will we go, Father? Yes. But we are trusting fully in you, yes, that you are leading him, Lord. And Father, tonight is proof of that, Father. Help us, Father, that we, all we do may support this ministry, Father, to the glory of your name. Bless the little children. Lord, may you continue, Lord, to help them also, Lord, Father. Amen. We pray, Lord, that, Father, they have caught something that was said today. So help us to be true to this word, amen, that when they hear us speak, it will match with the word tonight, Father. Amen. Oh, Father God, please be merciful unto us, Father, and forgive us where we have failed thee, O God. And help us, Father, to be diligent, never to walk in those paths once anymore, Father, amen, but to do that which is pleasing unto you. Be with us, Father, until we meet again. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Just said there's a baptism on Sunday. Our sister Valentina, she wants to be baptized. Wonderful. So, could I see Brother Vogus afterwards just to have a chat about that, and Brother Will? Let's sing the song, Justified. Aren't you glad you're justified? The devil may try to put you down, but hear the eagle scream. And he says, you never did it in the first place. Amen. You're justified.
Justified.